Let's start with this story. Somebody owns an apartment in the centre of the country, and it's during the time when south of Israel was getting bombarded with missiles from the Gaza, and there was a lot of people who needed placement moving home out of the danger area. And so the person who owns the apartment in the centre of the country, who normally rents it out, he decided, he was very moved from the situation, and therefore he wanted to donate the use of his apartment free of charge for families in the south who are getting bombarded by the missiles. So he advertised through a chesed organization the availability of such an apartment. We call him Reuven. Reuven owns his apartment. So Reuven's advertising his apartment for use for free of charge for those families in the south who've been bombarded by those missiles. He gets a phone call from the organization and says, we have someone called Shimon who needs placement in your apartment. So Shimon and his family arrive in the center of Eretz Israel, and they move into Reuven's apartment free of charge because of the great chesed he's doing to these families down south.
Yeah, Shimon rented to someone else?
Wait. After a 2 or 3 months, about 2 months.
He's living there for
two months. Except that 2 months because time to settle down, to see everything has gone back to being normal. So the owner of the apartment says, no, it's time to go back to your apartment in the south. It was then discovered that Shimon does not own an apartment down south. And he never owned an apartment down south.
He lived down south?
And he never lived down south.
Well, south's a relative term. South is something.
In fact, he came from the north.
One more.
And he admitted to Reuven that, in fact, when he saw the apartment for rent, and he was in a desperate matzav financially, he took up the offer to move into a free rental apartment because of his financial situation. Reuven then turned around to Shimon and said, look, I gave the apartment, I normally rent it out, but I gave the apartment for use specifically for the families down south to escape the missiles. You do not qualify for that type of chesed. Come up from north. Therefore, you have used my apartment for the last 2 months without qualifying to use my apartment for free, and therefore I want to charge you the normal rent which I charge for such my use of apartment. You have to pay for the rent of this apartment. Now, what do you think? Shimon have to pay for the rent of Reuven's apartment? And not just give me an answer, you have to give me some reasons behind your answer why you think that's true. Eric says for sure he has to pay.
He wouldn't have rented it out for money otherwise. He would have rented it out for free to somebody else. So Reuven wasn't losing financially.
And really the apartment at that point belonged, in essence, to someone from the south. Meaning it was essentially, if anyone is losing, it's someone from the south that's losing. So in terms of splitting the benefit and the loss, it doesn't have both properties. It's not both the loser and the beneficiary.
Why do you say we're losing? If nobody came along and rented out the apartment from the south,
it was
rented out
at all. No, but he was not.
He
was advertised.
He
Well, there's a basic question I think you have to answer. Does foster have to be financial?
Yes.
It has to be
financial.
Okay. So, we have a machlokas amongst us. Not unusual. So, what's the stotter? What are we asking? We have learned from the last few weeks that you live in somebody's apartments. Sometimes you pay and sometimes you don't. What is it dependent on? So we said simply it depends on this. It's not dependent on whether you've got hana or not hana. Sometimes you got hana and you pay, and sometimes you got hana and you don't pay. It's relative to the when you got hana, did he lose by the owner of the apartment, lose by you taking that hana? What's called losing? What's called losing by the fact that you're taking hana from his apartment? So up to now, we've been magdir, it means that you're going into apartments which is not being rented out. Apartment which is not being rented out, where the owner's not getting money and he's not interested in getting money for that apartment, somebody moves in. He hasn't done right because he's never asked permission and he's got benefit from it, but that benefit didn't cause a loss financially to the owner from you moving in because he wasn't going to rent it out in any case. He didn't lose any money. So the question in front of us here is this apartment of Reuven, apartment which is not rented out, and therefore by Shimon moving in, Shimon is benefiting, but not at the expense financially of Reuven, or is this apartment considered as apartment which is rented out, and therefore Reuven is losing for the fact that Shimon is benefiting from it, because he could have rented out? How do you define a rentable apartment? How do you define such apartments?
It's not rentable, it's only lesirus.
How do you define the only lesirus apartments?
That he was seeking to rent it out.
So, was if the definition he was seeking to rent it out, then do we have it over here?
No.
Yeah.
No and yes.
Certainly no for the first part as well. Maybe yes, after, could be not the whole 2 months there is this. Could be he didn't have a mind, that's true.
The post period is different. That's a good point. The post-missile period.
Okay. So what are you talking about in other cases? If you say it's not a rental apartment, it's an apartment. What's it used for rent? Person with no intention of renting it, didn't rent it out. He rented it out, and he was prepared to push it off.
Oh, he was
to help them.
He was intending to leave the basement the whole time until somebody took it. No?
He was to rent an apartment. He was prepared to
keep
the
site
to help people.
He's saying in theory it's
always the same. Oh, I thought he cleared it out.
You know, he's willing that a southern family comes, he's willing to give it for free.
Oh, so if someone had rented it out during that period, he would have rented it? If someone approached him, we want to rent your apartment.
If he would not get an approach at certain time, then he would have rented it out.
Oh, he would have, even during the missile crisis, he would have rented it out.
But if he gets an approach of the southern family, then he doesn't rent it out.
Oh, so he would have rented
it. Someone came day one and said, I want to rent this.
No, he wouldn't.
Also,
have to wait and see.
Also, must have obviously happened, just so happened at the time when he was in between.
But I thought he was back when he was open for people to come and see.
It was vacant.
What?
It was vacant. It was not rented. Apart from other arguments I might have with this out there.
Says the Shulchan Aruch, how do we define apartments which is rentable or not rentable? So it says the Shulchan Aruch, you live in somebody's house without his permission, without his knowledge. If it's a type of apartment which is not being rented out, not meant to be rented out, you don't have to pay, because you're not making him lose. Says the Ramah, I feel you are here, and even if it's normal for him to rent it out, Raksha Ashavlo of the Mega, but just now, in this particular point in time, he's not interested in renting it out, Bosa Hai Shatos, and we look at what's now, and that's what's considered, it's not apartments, which is omer for rent, and therefore he's not losing, and you still don't have to pay. Does that have any bearing on Ashaila, this Ramah, his definition of what apartments, which is not omer for Sirius, is?
Sounds like it.
It depends. If he would have, if someone would call him up and say, I'd like to rent your apartment, and he'd say, fine, and he would take it off the Kesem market, then I think it would not have a bearing. Because it's still Ovid LeMegar.
But at the time when Shimon turned up,
he was still Ovid LeMegar.
When Shimon
turned up, he would have turned
people away.
At the beginning, he would have turned people away.
At the time when Shimon said, I want to move in, he would have turned people away.
At that moment,
the renter can say, too bad, I'm not renting to you.
Okay, but after the war, he wouldn't have turned, well...
If somebody would have moved in by the south, he would have also said, okay, stay there a bit longer.
But
he thought he was from the south. He said, okay.
He's the Baal Has Das that he was not kicking anyone out for 2 months.
So... is our case related to the Ramah or not related to the Ramah?
It's related. It may not be exactly the same, but it's related. It's in the same family.
Yeah. Eric, you're very quiet.
He said his opinion already.
No, but now he's thinking.
Raksha Aksha will
obviously.
The only reason. No. I think I'm saying the same thing as Eric. I'm just going to articulate it differently.
Yes?
The only reason he's not renting it out is because he was presented with false pretenses. Had he not been presented with false pretenses, he would have still been renting.
That's only for the second half.
Even with the
guy, if Shimon didn't show up, he still wouldn't be renting out.
He would if somebody approached him.
Again, if someone walked in, day number two, and said, I want to pay to rent your car right now.
He said, no, not yet. I'm wanting to see if I can do a favor for the Spanish.
Oh, so when did Shimon come in? He came in within the period that he said, no, not yet?
Yes.
Okay, so... till the end of that period, he would be low on the mega, but after that, he's finished.
And Eric still believes what he says, yes? So, it's a type of question which may daughter like, yes? Because not exactly like the Ramah. What's the exact case of the Ramah? Exact case of the Ramah is, okay, we've reached June. June, I'm not interested in renting it out. I need to give the apartment a rest. Yeah, that's what the Ramah is talking about. It's off the market for June.
Wait a minute, if he needs to give the apartment a rest, then
he's
depriving him of the rest that he needs.
No, I don't want to have, I want to give myself a rest from having renters there. Yes?
Okay.
Okay.
Also doesn't want people in there
to go. So June, that's what the Ramah's talking about. All the year round he rents out, but June, that's his month, there's no rentals. So in June it's an apartment which is not meant to be rented. He's not interested in making money during June. He's not interested in making money during June. This person in the center of the country called Reuven, he's not interested in making money during these periods of time, or is he interested in making money still? However, he weighs up that there's something else which also interests him, and that outweighs, could push away the money interest. What is it? It's not interested in his part of making money. Better than he is interested in his part of making money. He just wants also, if there's a stocker available of the south and southern families, then I'm willing to waive my interest in making money for them. But the apartment is something I'm still interested in making money.
Everybody's always interested in making money. It's just some other compelling force that's causing them to take it off the market.
And here, he hasn't really taken off the market. He wants people there, either paying customers or the southern families. It's not that he doesn't want his apartment to be used for renters. Either he wants the paying customers or renters, or the free companies of
the
renters. Well, he wants
the renters. That's not the mega. Free is not the mega.
So therefore, since it's borderline,
yeah,
you have to go by what the Zion feels at the time. Yeah, it's a borderline question. What? So you have to, each time we'll probably have a different say in how to look at it in this case. There's a particular case where you can hear both sides.
Why can't you hear it's a culture case? Meaning, in the case where he just wants the Ramaz case, direct. If someone comes and says, you know what, I'll give you triple the rent, please take me in June, he might be more, but you know, triple the rent, it's worth it to lose my
yeah,
rent.
Yeah, so you just put it back on the market, but it was off the market before you said that.
In this case, he's advertised Chesed. He's now, the community's looking at him, what a
yeah,
nice guy.
Yeah.
So someone says, I'll give you triple the rent. He says, no,
right,
I can't
but
lose my
he's also advertised rentals. He hasn't taken it off the rental market. In our case, I want renters. I also want Chesed. I'll get inside at some stage who's going to actually move in.
This
yeah.
guy has a flat he rents out for money. It's equivalent to somebody doing jobs. Council doing work. It's an image that he takes from now on, I'm going to do work for everybody for nothing. Or in a particular case, for certain circumstances, I'm imagining something for nothing. It's not the same thing.
The council has more than one client at once. Here, one family to rent.
Well, look, I'm talking about the principle. For somebody who does work for people, may say, I'll do what we I'm not going to do any more work. That's the equivalent of taking the fat of it. I finished doing work, but I'm not doing work for this time. I'm not going to work for this time. Or, I'll do work for these people because of their circumstances, these particular people.
So I am more inclined, as a personal opinion, to go with Eric, and it therefore it's not defined over here as an apartment which is off the market. The basin that it was actually rent to, actual customs, that he was tied to. I know other Zionim were argued on that, but that's what the basin actually passed in this particular case.
They said it was other Zionim.
Yes.
Yes,
he hasn't taken it off the market. He wants it still in the market. If something comes, this guy comes along, then he'll give it to him. He'll pay for the rent, so to speak. It's still renting.
Now, what I asked, what if someone out there would have gone in and then rented it someone else, like left and rented it to
yeah.
someone else?
Yeah, that's last week's silence. Do chazor of last week's shit, and
okay,
then we'll get the answer. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on. Okay. Now let's ask our shayla, which we ended up last week, and then relate it to a din turret. We are, somebody rents an apartment. Is he allowed to have guests for Shabbos? The Chora, you should be able to have guests for Shabbos when he rents an apartment. Because he's renting an apartment, and if he invites guests in, then he can't do that without the permission of the owner, because the owner's only rented it out to you. He hasn't rented it out to other people to use. And therefore, without asking his permission, why should we be able to have guests
because
around for Shabbos?
That's implied in a normal rent. It's like asking, if he rents it out, can he bring a chair in there? Was he never getting explicit permission for a chair? That's the normal rental condition. People have chairs and tables and guests for Shabbos.
And hotels
not,
are different than
maybe not for a month, but for Shabbos.
You're saying it's an implicit allowance.
Yeah.
Okay. Minhag HaMakom.
So let's see what the halacha states before we come on to implicit allowance. So the Gemara in Baba Kama says like this. Omar Rab Shmoira, number two. Omar Rabuna, Omar Rab. Hadar Belchotze Chavera Shalom Medatzer. Somebody lives in somebody's house without permission. Eight top of the Shmoira doesn't have to pay him. Rabbi Yosef Omar, Rabbi Yosef says, Mishum because. He gives a reason. Why didn't you have to pay? Because Besa Misa Yosef. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Bais Shum Yosef Bediris B'nei Odom Yosef. A house where people are living in it. Yeshiva Kayim, it's good for the house. Lefi Shahadarim Betocho, because people are living in it. Yor Mashusok Umatakinoso. They see what is necessary that's going on over there, and they upkeep it well. They upkeep it. It's better to have a house that has got occupancy than non-occupancy, because non-occupancy, things deteriorate. If there's occupants over there, they can actually help with upkeep of the property. So therefore, somebody who moves into your house, even without permission, nevertheless, he doesn't have to pay because he's giving you a benefit. What benefit? Because he's helping to upkeep the house.
Most squatters don't upkeep for their living.
Ah, so what's going on over there? Things break and they can't be, the house can't be used, so the occupants will fix it in order to make it usable for their own benefit.
Things break because he's living there.
So the Rashba asked the question. He said, I don't understand. The whole Gemara beforehand says clearly that the reason why you don't have to pay if you live in somebody's house without permission is even though you're benefiting, he's not losing because he's not going to rent the house in any case. So why do you have to have also the reason is that he's actually benefiting you. Forget whether he's benefiting you or you're not benefiting you. Even if he doesn't benefit you, he still doesn't have to pay because you're not losing any money. That's the Rashba's question. What does the Rashba answer? Shema Nema, ki al kol ponim yesh hefsed kasas. Because him, by leaving him in the house, there is losing. If the person moves into somebody's house, he is making the house lose. Machlus Drisa's regular room. Through wear and tear. Ella shaviyach shematzilim osom shiol lekadek negad hefsedot. But we say, yes, on the one hand, when somebody lives in your house, he's creating wear and tear. But on the other hand, he's also giving you a benefit by being able to upkeep and maintain the use of the house. So therefore, the loss which you get from somebody moving in is outweighed for the gain that you get from also having people move in. So therefore, that's why the Gemara had to say that there was a benefit. Because you gain and you lose, and it outweighs itself. If he didn't have that benefit, then of course, he just have a loss, then he would have to pay, because he's benefiting, and he's doing wear and tear, so then you have to pay for the benefit. But now that the wear and tear is outweighed from the benefit, from the fact he's occupying your house and upkeeping it, so therefore, overall, there's no loss. Loss and gain, and now it's nothing, and he's benefiting, and there's no loss, then you don't have to pay. That's the shot of the Rashba.
It's obviously not over the spheres.
That's not over the spheres, but there's wear and tear, and therefore, even though it's not over the spheres, he's causing you a loss, and therefore you would have to pay. But that wear and tear is outweighed for the benefits of by the fact of giving you occupancy. So, based on that, the Nesivos was asked a cut-shot question, which is related to us. And he answers it based on the Rashba. What does the Nesivos ask? What question was asked to the Nesivos? Says like this. Number three. Yesh l'safek. I got something. V'notzen ha-sokha reshus la'acha shidobo b'chinom im ha-sokha b'yachat. The renter gives permission for somebody else to move in with him for free. Does that other person who's moved in for free with the renter have to pay the owner? Oh, Neymar, kiven shahamaskir lo hoi yoku lahaskiro laka. Or do we say, since the owner can't sublet it in any case, because the renter's there, and therefore the guest which is there, even though he's benefiting, but the owner's not losing because the owner can't sublet in any case because the renter's there. That's the question which the Nesivos is asking. A renter brings in a guest. Does the guest have to pay the owner? That's his question. That's Mamish Ashayla. Somebody comes to Shabbos as a guest of the renter. Does he have to pay the owner? Why should he have to pay? So the receiver says, Lachora, he doesn't, because the owner is not losing, because he can't rent it in any case.
What
would be the answer? Venera, the Chayim Neshalem, says the receiver, yes, the guest has to pay. Why? He has to pay the owner of the house. The Avadai Ika Kilkum Vashadom Rabbis. For sure, the fact the guest is there, he's increasing the wear and tear. But part of a mighty kind of commission to buy some Mr. Yosef. The only way to outweigh the wear and tear is to say, oh, I'm giving you wear and tear, but on the other hand, I'm giving you benefits of looking after the house. But come, but over here, Kivan Shadon Bavais the Lekamishum Besamissa, since the renter's looking after the house in any case, the Mela Chayim Neshalem, so of course the guest has to pay, because all he's doing, the guest by being there, is creating wear and tear, and he's not outweighing that by giving a benefit at all, because the benefit is the renter's doing in any case by looking after the property. So if you look at the whole picture, what's the guest doing? He's benefiting from the owner's house, and he's creating the owner loss of wear and tear. And not outweighing that loss by looking after the house, because looking after the house, he's not doing, it's the renter. So therefore the guest should have to pay, because he's nana from the house of the owner, and he's creating chosa to the house of the owner of wear and tear.
Didn't he establish last week that any rights to rent go to the one who's renting it?
Not according to the Nesivus, we said. Yes?
Not according to the Nesivus.
The Nesivus is majorly limiting the Gemara and the Rashba to only one person. Meaning, just from reading the Gemara and the Rashba, you could have thought five people together went into a house without knowledge, and that's the same halacha would have fought. But based on the Nesivus, you have to learn that no, only if one person
because he says, what's the Rashba saying? The Rashba is saying, where and tear, if you move in, is a problem. Why don't you have to pay for you moving the house? Because you're causing him a loss. The only reason why you don't have to pay is because it's outweighed, because I want him there. I don't mind the loss because he's upkeeping it.
More people,
but if you've got more people, there's more wear and tear.
And there's more use.
There's no more upkeep.
More people walking around.
Yes, there's more wear and tear and no more upkeep. No more upkeep. I'm just losing, not benefiting.
So he would have to learn the Gemara is only for one person.
Yes? If they're 15 individuals, then not. If the person who's in charge of the husband, he's the one who's actually saying, "I'm coming here, and I wouldn't be here unless I have other six people." Yes. So therefore, if you want me to upkeep the house, then you have to have also six people. So then we say, okay.
But he doesn't want him to upkeep the house.
<That's> the But the benefit of upkeeping the house is relative to the six people. There would be no upkeep the house if the six people won't be there, because we're one family. You can't say, my wife go there, I'll stay here, I'll look after the house, my wife has to live down the street. It doesn't work like that. My husband and wife and family go together. So if there's no wife, there's no husband, then there's no upkeep. So therefore, if a family of 50 move in, then you still have to tour according to the Rashba and the Gemara. But what are we talking about in the Nesivus? They're moving and renting the house. And once a year or twice a year, he invites a friend around to enjoy the property, to have Hana as a guest. And we say, well, Mr. Guest, you can't come unless you pay. Reuben's not going to move out of the house just because he can't have that friend for 2 weeks a year.
A lot of people would not be happy renters to know they can't have renters.
Not happy, but you'd be renters.
There's
renters who are happy. Yes? It depends. Yes? You can have guests to eat at the house. We're talking about guests to stay.
It depends on the time. some nights I considered wear and tear, or is there any equivalent arrangement where you consider wear and tear as a cause of financial loss?
Yes, so it depends on how long, correct. If there's a wear and tear, then the question doesn't start. Right, if there's enough amount of time to pass where wear and tear has been affected, and therefore the only way to balance it out is with the concept, I'm upkeeping it, then if it's your family, you've got that concept. But if it's a summer guest who's been there for 2 weeks for the summer holidays with you, that's not true.
Shouldn't it be hollow if Lamaisa he did fix anything or not?
No.
Why?
Because it's not
if he didn't
necessary.
Fix anything and all he left was wear and tear.
It's not necessary fixing things, it's also being able to have the security of knowledge that the house, okay, the house is being
used. Right, that's not financial security.
They want
burgled, yeah, that's also good.
That, he doesn't say that. No, Mike.
And also the Gemara says another reason keeps shading it away. Yeah, that's always true.
I don't understand though. How can
I want people to be there?
How can the Nesivos be Mon Simon based on the Rashba when the Rashba says it's Shema? So even Rashba's not Vadai.
No, he's got question. This is his text.
He's saying maybe.
Yeah, and the Nesivos saying, you know what? I hold that's the text. So based on that, if you have a guest for one night, there's no wear and tear in any case, for sure you don't have a shiner, and that guest doesn't have to come. Yeah. But if it's a guest for quite a considerable period of time, a summer guest, yeah, it's come to enjoy Eretz Yisrael for the 5 week holiday. Yeah. And that period of time where there is wear and tear from his use, then the Nesivos will be halting that he's making wear and tear, and he's not giving any benefit to that owner of the house, so therefore that guest should have to pay, because he's nehneh, and he's not giving any benefit, and just causing chasorin to the owner. That's what the Nesivos is saying. However, it's not the bottom line. Why? Because there's a Rosh. Let's look at the Rosh. Omar Abshvara. Says the Rosh. The Gemara says because he's using the house and he's giving benefits. All the Gemara is doing is saying he's giving him a benefit and he's bringing a pasuk to back it up. Little boy should potter from Shundahabele Zenen Zenaposim. Of course he's potter from paying because he's not causing any chisorin from using the house. And I feel a turban on me also. All the Gemara is saying is not only he's not causing you a detriment to the house, he's even giving you a benefit. But it's not that you need the benefit to be potter. You're potter even without the benefit. How the Rosh learns the Gemara is you're potter in any case. And what the Gemara, how the Gemara is speaking is you're potter because they're nene, they're low potter. But not only that, you're benefiting. For sure you're potter. But not that you need the benefit in order to be potter. Moving into somebody's house where it's not over for serious, that's called your nana and he's not losing, and therefore you don't have to pay for the hana you get, and you don't need any to give him any more benefits of looking after his house and doing upkeep. You don't need that. That's just added as an extra line in the Gemara to say, you know what? It's not so bad, you're even benefiting. But it's not necessary for the halacha of being potter, says the Rosh. If so, when this guest moves in, and he's there, even for 5 weeks, he's nana from the property, the owner's not losing rent because he's already rented out, and therefore the guest will be potter's there. Nana, it's a little question.
Wear and tear is not considered a loss.
Wear and tear is not considered enough of a loss to acquire the hana to be paid.
What if you had 30 people over? Summer camp?
That's a different show. If it's considerable losses, it's a different show. So, we have a machlokus, and therefore has ramifications in our case. Does the guest have to pay if he causes wear and tear? in such a situation, according to the Nesivos and Rashba. Yes, but according to the Rosh, no. What does the Shulchan Aruch Paskin says? The Gaon, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like the Rosh, because he never brings this Chalukim which the Nesivos is talking about. He just brings it stamp down. Therefore, the Mashmas of Shulchan Aruch, he learns like the Rosh, and therefore, when Teh will never mechayev somebody who lives in that property to pay for the Hanah. As long as the property is not owned for Tzchiras, he doesn't pay for the Hanah. And therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, a guest will not have to pay for that rent in any both are the same. Both are apartments which are now not rentable. Yes? One is...
They are rentable and they are being rented in one case. The other case, yes, they're not rentable and they're not...
Not... Okay, so let me change that. Not more money rentable. I can't now go and rent it out again. I can't make double money. Yes?
Yes, that should be the point.
Yes?
No, it's making money. It's not double
money. You can't make double money.
You can't change it in any way. The other part...
So you're saying you don't understand the Nesivos, why you should have to pay? Yeah. Well, so the answer is...
What is the comparison between the two cases?
The answer is the guest getting Hanah? He's getting benefit, yes. Who is he benefiting from? He's benefiting from the renter, because the renter's allowing him to come in. But he's also benefiting from the owner property, because the owner of the property owns the house, and the house is giving physical Hanah to him.
He does not own the house now.
According to the Nesivos,
he's benefiting from the renter. He's not benefiting, he's benefiting from the renter who is making this possible because he's renting out the entire house from the owner. He's benefiting only.
But who owns the physical structure, who still has rights to decide who moves in?
He doesn't.
But he's not benefiting from him. He's not benefiting from him.
Who owns the house? So, the Sivas held from last week that the owner of the house, even after he rented it out, he's the one who decides how to sub, if it's subletted or anything, then the benefit goes to them. Now, if I make a clause in my contract that I rented it out for five people, yes, and a sixth person comes in, that's against the contract. Is the sixth person getting benefit from the renter or from the owner?
If he puts on the contract, let's make it plain, he cannot have guests. Okay.
No.
I'm not talking about that.
I'm talking about your case. I'm talking about the original case, not your case. What you're going on a different point now. If he's in the contract, I'm renting to a family of five people. Yes? The sixth person comes in. Who is he benefiting from? The rights of the renter or the rights of the owner?
That's because he puts in a contract a special clause.
No, answer my question before you answer my question before you say it's different. Is he benefiting from the renter or the rights or the owner's rights? When in the contract it says I'm renting to five people and the sixth person
rights, or is he benefiting from? He's benefiting from the renter. The renter's made the situation possible. Not the owner. He's rights? Maybe rights because you put it in the contract special wording.
So? Eric, I know you don't want to say it. You're saying I'm right. But the sixth person that moves in is not under any of the rights of the renter because he only had rights of five people. So the sixth person that moves in is now not benefiting from any rights which the renter has in his property, and therefore he's benefiting from that physical property owner, which had the own renter had no rights to give that benefit to.
How do you define rights? If you define rights as only money, he's not benefiting from the owner. If you define rights as a concept,
why is it not money? Why? He's not, the old renter is not allowed to use this house more than five people. If he moves it more than five people, then he's broken the contract, he's not allowed to be here.
But he's not benefiting And that's something he puts in the contract. Yes. He's not benefiting.
Fine.
If you talk about financially, is he gaining or losing financially? The rubber owner is not losing financially.
No. We're discussing benefits, and then we'll discuss
okay.
loss.
Benefits is also privacy. Well,
he's benefiting from the owner. He's benefiting from the owner. He's benefiting from the owner.
Not financially.
He's benefiting, yes, because he's now got a house to live, the sixth guy. He's physically benefiting financially, the sixth guy, because he's now living in a house for free, and that right is given to him, not from the renter, because he had no right to give it, so coming from the owner. And he's causing a loss, says the receiver, to the owner, because of renter.
But are we talking about a contract where there was specific clause that limited
says to the halach of Shulchan Aruch?
Yeah.
If your family is a specific amount, you can't move other people in. You've got rights for the size of your family and rights for natural growth, but not for strangers.
That's
implicit in every contract. As if in every contract there's a clause, I'm renting for you, the two people, young couple, and any children that you give birth. But not to any other person. Any other person is not under the rights to use as a contract. And that's implicit in every contract. And it's like a clause of five people, not six.
That would depend on what's customary at the time and place, not what's presidential norm.
It's also customary. It's also customary.
What you're saying now you're not saying because you put it. You're saying it's what's normal, what's accepted. If you want to play, and it's normal and
So where do you draw the line? A few weeks, a few months, a few years?
It depends on what customary.
Yes. And we're discussing when you go out of the norm, does the guest have to pay? And the answer is, according to the Rashba and the Nesivos, yes. But according to the Rosh, and how the Shulchan Aruch is paskin, according to the Gaon, no, because even though he's benefiting, the owner's not losing. Wear and tear is not called the loss. Okay?
Wear and tear is not called the loss.
According to the Rosh, not according to the Sikhs. The Halacha, therefore, is potter. Because of the Rosh and the Gaon. Next week, think of this Shaila.
There's only a limited amount of time.
Yes! Say the Shaila, think about it to next week. Shaila's like this. A hotel needs a hesher. So they brought someone in to give a hesher, a Rava Mashi. He's giving a hesher to the customers of the hotel during the holiday period. Rav says, you have to find me Mashkiach who I get on with. So they hire a Mashkiach to come to the holiday period. What's the deal? Mashkiach, you can come and you can live in the hotel free of charge in exchange for your work that you do Mashkiach. Any other person who comes with you have to pay. So he brings his wife, which he pays for, Mashkiach goes for free, and now he's working. 3 days into the holiday period, the Rav HaMashir says, this Mashkiach is not good for me, I'm getting rid of him, you have to hire another one. Now the hotel have to release the Mashkiach from his job. Okay, Mashkiach still stays there during the holiday period. Now the hotel go afterwards and say to the Mashkiach, you were supposed to, in exchange for living here, give us the job of being a Mashkiach. At the end of the day, you weren't the Mashkiach, and you still lived here. So therefore you have to pay for the rent of the holiday. You have to pay for the price of the room. And you had the Shaila. The Mashkiach was going to live in the hotel for free in exchange for being a Mashkiach in the hotel. The Rav in charge got rid of the Mashkiach after 2-3 days. The Mashkiach still stayed there for the rest of the holiday. Now the hotel come and say to him, no, you didn't get paid for it because your payment is being a job. You didn't do that job. You lived in our hotel for free, so therefore you have to pay.
Oh, and he didn't tell him that in advance. He just told him it's after the fact that you have to pay.
Yes.